going. So, state your name, please.
My name is Jerry Blaken.
All right, where did you grow up?
I grew up on a farm in Melrose, Wisconsin.
And what high school did you go to?
I went to Melrose High School.
Where did you decide to go to college?
I decided to go to Barber College probably when I was about a junior in high school.
All right. What inspired you to go to Barber College?
I was good friends with my barber for many years, and he kind of thought that I would be interested in that profession.
All right. Why did you decide to enlist into the service?
Well, I had no choice. When I was in Barber College, I found out that I would possibly be drafted when I got out. And when I got out, I was eligible for the draft.
Did you want to become possibly a barber in the service?
Yes, I did. I wanted to be a barber in the Navy, but I could not get in the Navy. I wanted to cut hair on a ship, but I couldn't get in, so I ended up in the Army Reserves.
So my next question was, what branch did you serve in? And that was?
Yeah, Army Reserves.
Army Reserves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then when you went to the Army, what happened when you departed for training camp? Like, where did you end up going?
Well, an Army buddy of mine, we flew out of La Crosse, Wisconsin, to Chicago. We flew to Washington, D.C., and then we flew down to Fayetteville, North Carolina, and ended up at Fort Bragg, where we took our basic training for 8 weeks.
What was it like to leave family?
Scary.
Scary?
Scary.
Can you explain?
Well, 20 years old and never been away from home except for going to Barber College, and now I'm going to the East Coast and being with a lot of guys I haven't met, and it was a pretty apprehensive time because of the Vietnam War.
So what was it like when you got there to the fort?
Very hectic, very fast-paced. A lot of our instructors were not very friendly because they were all upset because most of them had just came back from Vietnam and didn't have a very good experience.
So they were like yelling at you right when you pretty much got there?
Right. But of course, that's part of basic training.
When you got there, did you have to have your head shaved? And
oh, yes.
Did you get your uniform?
Yep. We got issued our Army clothing. They gave us a cardboard box to send our civilian clothes home. And we had a haircut once a week. Shaved.
Do you recall instructors, and how did they act, or what were some of their tactics?
I recall all of my instructors. They were very strict, had I don't care attitude as long as you learn. If you don't learn what we teach you, if you go to war, you're not going to survive. Very intense training.
Do you have any, like, tactics maybe? Like, what was their kind of way? Was there any way if they did stuff or any routine that they had?
Their routine was always answer by saying yes, drill sergeant. Not yes or no, but yes, drill sergeant. And we always ran and never walked for 8 weeks, no matter if we were going to the mess hall for a meal or we were going to training. We ran.
So when you had to answer to a drill instructor, did you have to answer with what he wanted to say, like what he wanted you to say, like if it's not what you thought?
You had to say what they wanted to say because you were trained to do what they told you to do. And if you didn't do it, you probably would end up doing 25 push-ups.
And what if, like, you weren't clean? What if you were...
Being not clean was not accepted. They were very strict about cleanliness. We had a guy that didn't take care of himself, and he got cleaned up the hard way.
Training exercises, do you recall any of those, what you did, like infiltration courses, obstacle courses?
We had both the infiltration course at night. Tracer rounds were fired about, it seemed like about 4 feet off the ground, and we had to crawl through that. Probably 100-some-plus yards to the other end. We had explosives going off, things flying in the air. We were strictly warned not to stand up. If we were stand up, we'd be dead because of the live rounds flying through the air. Pretty scary, pretty intense. Obstacle course, did a lot of that. Every meal, three times a day, we had to go through a small obstacle course before we were able to eat.
Back to the infiltration course, did you ever see anyone stand up, get scared?
Never seen anybody stand up. I heard a couple guys stood up, and I heard one guy was killed, not when I was in training, but before I got there, I heard somebody had stood up.
Was there stuff you had to crawl through?
We had to crawl under, through mud, sand, water, real nasty conditions that you might be involved in if you went off to war.
And another thing I noted you talking about, to me personally, was being gassed. You had to be gassed.
We had to go through the gas chamber. Everybody hated that because most of us ended up getting sick from it. You entered the gas chamber, took your mask off, had to get the feel of it, what real true gas was like. Or not true gas, tear gas. And it burned. So then we had to clear our gas mask of all the tear gas and then put our mask back on and go out. And I always remember when we got it, and they told us before we went in, you do not take your mask off when you get outside until we say all clear. Well, we got outside and they said, now you can take your mask off. And I'd say about half the group took their mask off. Well, guess what? They had to go back in and do it all over again because they didn't obey the command. And that's the way it was. You had to remember what they told you and you stuck by it. All clear meant you could take your mask off.
So, can you describe maybe some food in the mess hall? Kitchen, if you had kitchen patrol or...
Yeah, we all took turns doing kitchen patrol, called KP. They'd probably get us up about 3 in the morning to help with breakfast. And then we would work right through until the night till we were done. The food was all right, nothing to brag about. Mass quantities, hundreds of eggs being made at one time. It was just a way of how you put up with Army food.
Was it always the same thing every day?
It was a little different. They mixed it up a little bit.
Do you recall any certain favorites?
Probably my favorite was fried eggs because you can't screw that up too bad. And we were taught for 8 weeks in basic training. Nobody set us on when you ate. Total silence. You sit down and eat, you get up and leave, and you run out the door.
Okay. Let's move on to night watch. You talked about... I mean, night patrol? Or?
We all had night patrol, night watch, night duty. We did some of that basic training. When I moved on to AIT, I ended up in Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland, and then we did some of that up there. I think it was in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, that I had to pull guard duty in a big warehouse that was a lockdown full of maps, and I assume it was maps of Vietnam. That was probably top secret for military.
So when you were on night watch, you had to act like you were in war?
Definitely.
Even though you were actually in the United States.
We carried a weapon unloaded, but nobody was allowed past a certain point unless they had the proper password.
Do you recall any... passwords?
I think they were code words that they'd given us. They kept changing them every time.
Okay.
And we had guys that would try to fool us into sneaking in.
And then I got, were you ever a squad leader? Or if so, what was your ranks?
Well, I was a squad leader in basic training and AIT training, advanced individual training. You start out as an E1 in basic, and I moved up to E2 after basic, and then by the time I was out of reserves, I was E4, specialist fourth class.
Okay. What were your duties, and more specifically during wartime?
I was assigned to a motor pool, which would be heavy-duty mechanic repair. Both parts department and helping the mechanics, working on anything from tanks to trucks, jeeps, that kind of stuff.
Where was this?
That was in Aberdeen, Maryland, Aberdeen Proving Grounds.
So after basic training, then you got shipped to
Maryland
to work on...
Well, I took a troop train for advanced individual training. There we actually learned how to repair Army vehicles. Okay, 2 months of training there.
Was it mainly trucks and tanks?
Mainly trucks, tanks, jeeps, replace armor plates that were blown up.
Okay, so these were trucks that came back, like, partly destroyed?
We didn't work on any that came back, but we worked on some that were blown up. And I don't know where they were blown up or damaged, but we learned how to repair them.
So practice?
Right.
Okay. What kind of friendships did you form throughout the course of the war? Did you form a lot?
I formed a lot of friendships. Met a lot of guys from out east, especially Philadelphia and Louisiana. I met a lot of guys from east and the south, and a lot of friendships that I don't know, over the years I lost touch with them. I know a lot of guys went to Vietnam, and we wrote back and forth, and I never heard from them. So I don't know what happened, if they made it back alive or not.
So you said you did write to them right away when you met them, but was there any that you still know of that you know is still alive or you keep in touch with?
No, don't know of any of them.
No?
Nope. I had a close friend that was went over as a medic and got wounded. And I haven't heard of him since.
Okay. Do you ever stay in touch with family? Like mom, dad, when you were in the war, did you ever write to them?
Oh, I wrote to them a lot. I was married, had a daughter, a baby. So, yes, I wrote back as often as they would let us, which wasn't, didn't have a lot of time because they keep you pretty occupied. Called home maybe once every 2 to 3 weeks. For a short talk. That's all you had time for.
Did they make you pay for these
payphones? And I remember standing in line at the payphone, about 20 guys in each line, and everybody's pounding on the door to hurry up and get out so I can talk to where I'm talking to. So you made it short and sweet.
And what did you do for recreation, for fun, when you were in basic training or in... You were actually up in Maryland.
Basic training, and there was no time for recreation. It was constantly training and rest. When I got to Maryland, then we could have weekends off, and it was just like a new world. We went into Baltimore. We went into Washington, D.C. on a weekend pass. I remember during the week Bobby Kennedy was assassinated in California, and... They brought his body back home on a train, and it stopped in a town outside of our Aberdeen Proving Ground. So we went down and watched it as it stopped. We took pictures of it.
Okay. I missed a thing back here, a little detail, when you were in basic training. Inspections, how the drill sergeants would come in the night.
Drill sergeants were made it tough to deal with because they were trying to make sure you did things right. And it seemed like no matter how hard you tried, there was always one guy that might have screwed up a little bit. So it was not uncommon to holler an inspection in the middle of the night. They would come in and take us outside and have us in formation and inspect us. And then they would, while we were standing at attention, they'd go in and check the barracks. And when we were told to go back in, they had the whole barracks tore apart because somebody didn't make his bed right. So we had so many minutes to put it all back together and get reinspected. And that was all a process of just teaching us the chain of command. Do what you're told. Do it right.
And if you didn't, after you had to put it back together, and if you didn't do it right again, then you had to come back outside and
do it again.
Do it all over again.
Do it again.
Mm-hmm. And how long do these usually last throughout the night?
Well, they would probably last about totally maybe an hour. But I always remember they'd come in about, wake-up call was about 4:30, 5 o'clock every morning, and they'd turn all the lights on and take a garbage can cover and a baton, a wooden baton, and bang on it, and it didn't take long to get up and get out of bed.
Okay. Now back to actual wartime. Can you tell me a little bit about watching troops load stuff up or seeing troops go over, if you saw any of that?
I've seen some of that. I've seen some guys, our drill instructors had just came back from Vietnam, had a really bad, hard attitude about the war. They kept telling us, we know what's going to end up with you guys because you don't know how to do nothing. So they're trying to train us. And we've seen some things get loaded. I've seen a lot of, when I was training in Virginia, we've seen a lot of helicopters training for war. And then we've seen those get shipped off to the shipyards. I think they got shipped out on the ships or something. But
okay. Where were you in the service when the war ended? Where were you in the service?
I was out of the service when the war ended. I was in from 1966 to 1972.
Okay.
And I think the war was over after that.
How did you readjust when you came back home? Was it any different? Or?
Yeah, it was a big change. It seemed so unreal to just relax and do an ordinary thing instead of being told what to do all the time, and everything was the military way.
Instead of being screamed at?
After basic training, you didn't get screamed at much. That was pretty good. But basic training, yeah, that was, they broke you down and built you back up again.
After basic training, I noted in basic training about the food. Did you get better food when you went up to Maryland?
Much better food. And you could eat at your own pace, and you could even talk to somebody when you ate.
But so you weren't able to talk to anyone when you were in basic training, when you were eating? You
not basic able to training.
Eat in silence?
Eat in silence.
Oh,
and don't take your time neither. Eat fast and get out.
What type of machinery did you see when you were, let's say, like up in Maryland?
We've seen everything up there because Aberdeen Proving Grounds in Maryland at that time, and it may still be a training ground for, they test everything before it goes off to war. So we've seen everything from machine guns to howitzers, cannons, tanks. We've seen everything that was being ready for the war. It was not uncommon at 2:30 in the morning to hear the windows rattle. They were testing equipment, tanks and stuff.
Okay. Was there any like big machines that kind of surprised you or shocked you? Like, wow, this is...
I was surprised at the size of the artillery equipment, how big it was, and I assume they could shoot for miles with accuracy.
You noted to me personally one time about B-54s or the Gatling guns.
I seen the B-52 one time.
B-52s.
Huge, huge. And they used those in Vietnam. They put Gatling guns on them and you were strafing the enemy, I imagine day and night, but I seen I heard a lot of those were done at night. Very deadly.
The Vietnamese, they called them dragon fire or something coming down.
Yeah, they were scared to death of of the Americans.
Running their tunnels.
Right.
Running their tunnels.
They were called tunnel rats. They had a city underneath the ground. They were hard to find.
And that's how a lot of guys got killed.
Going right.
Down in there.
Yep, going down after them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And how did wartime experiences affect life, if it did?
Well, wartime experience is not good, especially when you're that young and part of it, because you never know what the uncertainty of it all. We were on standby when I got back home in my reserve unit. We were put on 48-hour standby ready alert to take off for Vietnam if we had to, and we were almost sent over. So it was kind of a uncomfortable time.
Okay. Do you have any life lessons from the service that you could bring forth?
Oh, I'd say a life lesson would be learn how to respect the people that you are working for, working under. Learn how to take care of yourself the correct way. Learn how to obey orders. So it was that part was good. It was a good experience overall.
So in a way it matures young men in a
it
way.
It matures young boys into men in a hurry.
Okay. And that's through basic training and
exactly.
All the inspections.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how has military service impacted your feelings about war and military in general?
Well, I didn't care for the fact that you have to kill somebody to make this a better world, and that's kind of what we were taught. We were taught to kill or be killed in basic training, and that's just how the war is. So, not a good thing.
Did they teach you about freedom, about killing or to be killed? Was that kind of the idea of freedom, how to get freedom?
I think that was we were taught that's the price you pay. And we were taught that practically every day in training in basic, that you have to learn how to do this right or somebody's going to kill you.
Okay. Well, we're about to wrap it up. So is there anything you'd like to add on anything that I asked the other day?
Oh, not really. It was a good experience. At the time, I didn't think it was a very good experience. Learned a lot of things, a lot of memories of a lot of things that happened. I met a lot of people during the 6 years I was involved. It was a nasty war that we were involved in, but they're all nasty. So other than that, that's about it.
All right, well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.